Hello and welcome. I'm Luke Burridge and this is the Science Fiction Book Review Podcast. It's the show where I review a different science fiction book every week, I was going to say. But it's not every week. It's whenever I finish the book I'm reading, I put a review up online and anyone can listen to it and get recommendations of what to read, what not to read. And also you can send recommendations what I should be reading and reviewing into me. If you want to know more about the Science Fiction Book Review Podcast, just check out episode number one. You'll find that on iTunes or any other downloading software, or just go to the website, which is sfbrp.com. And you'll find all you need in that very first podcast. I explain everything that's going on. So let's just get straight on with the show. And today I'm going to do a book from 1986. It's called Venus of Dreams from Pamela Sargent. And yeah, let's just get into the sort of background behind the book. I guess the book is set in a future solar system. I can't remember how many hundred years in the future, but it's only a few hundred years. And it's where all the advanced people, all the advanced nations, and everyone with any technology has left the Earth already. And it means just that people who don't normally get on, do much with life, they're left behind. So farmers and religious people are left behind. It's a really quite strange idea, but it's pretty good. And the world is run by a class of people, a Muslim ruling class called the Mukhtars. And the Guardians are their agents who sort of help keep the world in line. And all the people who went out to live in space, they live in habitats, space habitats, and they're known as the Habbers. And they're sort of like the sworn enemies of the Mukhtars. But as you read through the book, you realise that the Habbers are not that bad at all. It's the Mukhtars and the people of Earth which hold a like a real sort of enmity towards them for them deserting the people of Earth. So the people went out into space, they're doing all the exploring, and the people on Earth don't have a lot to do. So there's put in place a plan. And the plan is to terraform Venus, is to make Venus suitable for human habitation. And it's a huge plan, it's a huge goal, but that is the point. It's something for humanity, all of Earth, to work towards to terraform Venus. So the first thing that they do is stick up a big shield in front of it to completely block it from the sun. Of course, you get to know much more about that in the book. But the book doesn't start there. The book actually starts quite a long time after this whole terraforming has begun. And it tells the story of, first of all, there's a mother who has a daughter, Mother Julia, daughter called Iris. And Iris is fascinated by Venus. It's her star, that's what they say. And so Iris is expected to stay home and look after the farm and look after the town where she lives in North America. And that's what she's expected. But, you know, it's a lot different from that. She gets herself educated and she aims to work on Venus. That's her big goal in life, is to go to Venus. Even though the rest of the world isn't really seeing the big point in it, she wants to go there. And then there's another character. Another main character is called Liang Chen, who is originally from China. He gets sent to Venus to work before the novel begins. And you first meet him and he's actually working around Venus on a thing called an island, which I think floats in the upper atmosphere of the planet Venus, yeah. And he's getting a bit too close to the people called the Habbers, the enemies of the Earth, and so he gets sent back home, back to Earth as a punishment. And yeah, so that's really where the story begins, and it starts really, really slowly. That's one thing I noticed about this. And then Liang, he starts working in North America, doing the Mukhtars and the Guardians. He does their dirty work for them. I'm not going to go into the reasons what he does it, but in the end, he meets Iris, and they sort of join forces to work towards getting the two of them back to Venus. Now, because Liang Chen, he's got some material tucked away that he knows that he can hold the Mukhtars and the Guardians to ransom. And Iris, she's doing really well in school, and so they decide to get married and have a child, and hopefully that'll be what they need to get to Venus, because that's the big goal for the two of them. And the middle is quite a slow middle of the book. Iris goes to college, Chen keeps working, they have a baby and all this kind of stuff. And then the next bit of the book is really quite slow, and they both get to Venus and they both work on the island in the upper atmosphere of Venus, and they get sort of involved in minor adventures and small like issues and political things, and the relationship between them, it breaks down and all this kind of stuff. And it was getting so long, and the end of the book, it just sort of like stops, it just winds up, and you think, oh, and I was expecting some big huge thing to wrap it up, and then it ends. And it, you know, the way it ends is all right, and you get some sort of like satisfaction with the end of the book, but I was really, really wanting something more here. And the child that they have is, you know, has a storyline of its own. And that, yeah, it just ends. And then I read the very back page of the book, just inside the back cover, in fact. And the last thing I actually read in the whole book, it said, Venus of Dreams is the first volume in a monumental trilogy spanning four generations of a family which plays a crucial role in the colonization of the planet Venus. The second volume will be published in 1987. And that was the key to it, really. I didn't realize I was actually reading the first book in a sort of like epic trilogy of a colonization of a close planet to Earth. And of course, looking at that, I just realized what the difference is between, say, this and Kim Stanley Robinson's Red Mars and Green Mars and Blue Mars kind of thing. Because I guess, I mean, that's the only thing that I can compare it to, really. But because, you know, it's talking so much about the terraforming of a planet, but it's really, really, I don't know, just so different. It concentrates so much on one character, and one not very interesting character, this Iris. I don't really like her very much. And Chen, he's an okay character, but I don't really like him at all. And they have this relationship where they're both really unhappy, but they stay in it. I'm just like, what do you see in each other? I just couldn't understand what these two characters saw in each other. So it's so much about like the human drama, which I didn't find very dramatic. And then it goes, oh, it's so much about like so much influence on the colonization of the planet Venus. I didn't see that either. They just play two very, very minor roles compared to, say, Red Mars. It starts, literally, the book starts when the first people arrive right there on Mars, and you're with them. They're making the decisions. They're making the technology work. They're coming across all the problems, and they're solving all of the problems. And this follows the terraforming of Venus from the point of view of two sort of, like, quite maybe consequential characters in a way. I mean, they do have like small things, but no more role in the actual terraforming of Venus than any other sort of minor pair of workers who don't get on very well in space around Venus or even on Earth. And I was really disappointed with that. And the most thing that I was disappointed with was that I didn't realize it was a trilogy before I started, because I'm not going to read the second one, because to be honest, I just wasn't that interested in them. And yeah, and like the second generation that we're going to find out about, or the third generation, whichever it's going to be, on Venus, I don't really care if they succeed or not. That's the thing with the Red Mars, but you cared about every single step of the way, and they lived a long time, and you knew that because they're going to live a long time. They're going to be around there for a long time, and you really get invested in the characters. And this, nothing. And also, the political intrigue, I just didn't find it that interesting either, or that realistic. So it's a real pity that I put a lot of time into reading this book, because it is an epic book. It's how many pages is it, sort of, just check here, 536 pages long, and it takes a long time to get through, sort of like it's a slow read. I was reading as quickly as possible, but in the end I just found I've just gone about 100 pages and nothing's happened in the 100 pages. Just because it takes a long time to say doesn't make it epic. You know, you hear these things about epic film and epic this and epic that. Yeah, it normally just means is long. And I always think that epic must sort of like have a lot of breadth to it, sort of like have a lot large scope, talk about lots of different themes. And in this, it doesn't, you know, there are themes there, but no specific theme comes out to the front at any point. And that's the thing that really, really leaves me feeling a bit cold about this series, which is pity, because like I say, it is quite a long book, and I put a lot of effort into reading it. It's not all bad. I'm not saying that. There's a lot of things that I did enjoy about it, and I was quite intrigued by stuff, but it doesn't really go into any detail about the political systems more, like, further than what the main characters sort of can relate to. It doesn't talk about any of the technology used, except that the Habbers, the spacefaring people, are more advanced than the other ones, and you just don't get to know, you know, how did they make the shield? How do these islands float in the top atmosphere of Venus? How do they build the domes on the surface? And what kind of technology is used to do all this stuff? And it's just left out, which is a real pity. So, for this book, I'll give it like 2.5 stars out of 5, which means only read it if you've got nothing else to read. It's worth reading if you have it, and you've not got any plans, and you've got a week to go, and you can just do it. But otherwise, I wouldn't sort of seek this book out. I'm sure some people really enjoy it, but for me, it never gripped me more than just, oh, I wonder what's going to happen at the end. And then at the end, because it's the first in a trilogy, there wasn't that massive climax I was expecting that would wrap it all up. And it was only when I finished the book and flicked to the back page that I realised how mistaken I was. So be warned, it's the first in a trilogy, and if you're just going to read the first one, you might not get everything you want out of it. So 2.5 stars out of 5. I think I'm going to enjoy the next book I'm going to read a bit more than this one. It's called The Door into Summer by Robert Heinlein. It's a classic book. I think I've read it before, but so long ago, I can't remember exactly what happens there. So if you want to read along with me with that and check out the podcast next time when we finish that together, you can do that. Also, if you've got any comments, or if you've got any suggestions of books that you want me to read or to review or what you think I might like or anything like that, just send an email to luke@juggler.net. luke@juggler.net, that's the email, the best email to catch me. So see you next time, and have fun.